The book of Acts chapter number 16. We'll be reading a few verses in that chapter, and then we'll move over to 2 Corinthians, and then we'll move over to Revelation. So we're almost preaching from Genesis to Revelation this morning. Not hardly that bad, but just some phrases and some pictures that are given to us in the Scripture. And, of course, keying in on the subject of missions and how important that is. And when we think about it, when we talk about missionaries and talk about missions, immediately we think about countries that are not associated maybe with our country. We think of what we call foreign missionaries. We think about different countries that are represented here this morning and by these flags that are hanging. We think about nations that maybe do not have the same privileges that we do, and in the past have not had the privilege of hearing the gospel like we did. And so we think of missions and missionaries in that mindset. But really this morning, when we bring it all down to reality, we are all a product of missionaries. We are all a product of the missionary message that is given to us in the Scriptures. I'm a product of someone telling me the gospel. I had a preacher that preached the gospel. I had Sunday school teachers that were very capable of giving not just Bible stories and lessons, but giving the Bible to teach me and the others that were in that class, even at a young age, the importance of talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. We are living in a society, we're living in a world this morning that everything is tied to religion. People talk about being religious, or we ask questions, are they a religious person? Even those that are not what we would classify as religious, they have a system of belief. They have a philosophy that could be called a religion. Religion is it's a broad term. It's a broad definition to that. But we're not talking about religion this morning. We're talking about salvation. Salvation and religion are two different things. There's a lot of people this morning that are religious. They have a tie, they have a connection to some denominational church or some group of people that have religious order, and they are religious. We're dealing with people that have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and how does that happen? How does that take place in the life of an individual? How do we go from earth to heaven? That's a message, that's a question that has been asked for generations. It's when a man dies, what happens? When a person leaves this world, what happens to them? And the Bible is very clear that for the child of God to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And it's just as clear for the unbeliever. And we don't like to talk about that. We don't like to think about that. I don't like to preach that, but it's still truth this morning. The person that is a non-believer or does not accept Jesus Christ, their destiny is also sealed, and it's in a place called torment, called hell. Those are two places that are real, and the reality of it comes to us very rapidly many times. But we're in the process as a believer of trying to win as many people over to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the kingdom of God as is possible in our lifetime. Generation after generation has done the same thing. It does not grow old, it does not go out of date. It's just simply telling somebody that they need the Lord. And this morning I want to read in the book of Acts, and then we'll turn over to 2 Corinthians. Acts introduces us here to the part of the ministry of the Apostle Paul. And I believe we could rightfully say Paul probably was the most effective missionary that the Lord has ever chosen or has ever called. We had in our Sunday school lesson this morning, we're starting out in the book of 1 Timothy, and Timothy was a product of somebody telling him the gospel. And in Acts chapter 16, we find the connection that the Apostle Paul has with this young man called Timothy. The Bible says in verse number 1, says, "Then came he," speaking of Paul, "to Derbe and to Lystra. And a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman which was a Jewish and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium." Those are two cities of the area where Paul is preaching the gospel. And he goes on and tells that they were, in verse number 5, that there were churches established in the faith, and they increased in number every day. People were hearing the gospel. They were hearing the message. People were getting saved, and the message of the Lord increased daily. In verse number 6, we find that Paul and his group tried to go into Galatia. And it's a couple of strange verses here. It says, "And were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia." So Paul and his group were headed toward what we know of as Asia. But the Spirit of God stopped them and would not give them liberty to do that. And so, verse number 7, they went to some other areas, some other places. And the Bible says, "But the Spirit suffered them not." So in these two verses, there are two instances where God told Paul and his group, which I believe now included Timothy, "You don't go there." Well, they made a choice to go to another direction, and the Holy Spirit said, "You don't go there." But when you go on and read, it says in verse number 9, it says, "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us.'" So Paul has a vision. It's not necessarily a dream that we would think of as a dream, but the Lord had given him a vision of a man in a far distant place coming and saying, "Come and help us." The man of Macedonia says, "Come and help us. We need the message. We need the help." And it says in verse 10, "And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go to Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them." So now they have clear direction as to where to go. Of course, we know that that Luke is the human author of the book of Acts, and he is part of that group that's with Paul, and he is writing about them and writing about him and doing it in that person of looking as a bystander. But when you come to verse number 10, he says, "We endeavored." And so Luke includes himself in that group that was going to Macedonia. And there they go off, and you could read story after story. Of course, in Acts chapter 16, we have the story of Lydia, that seller of purple. She gets saved. She's in in that area, that first believer in that area. We have the Philippian jailer, where Paul and Silas find themselves in jail that night. And that Philippian jailer hears the gospel message, and before the dawning of a new day, he was a believer. He came to know Christ. And then they travel from there, and they go to Thessalonica, which is another area or another city. These are cities of Macedonia. And the Lord had given them direction to go there. And so when he gave them that direction, he gave them fruit for their labor. And when the Lord leads you to do something, the Lord's going to bless you for doing that. And we find that in the ministry and the mission work of the Apostle Paul. But this morning, if you would, turn over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. In 2 Corinthians 8, we find verse number 1 says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit the grace of God bestowed on the churches of" where? Macedonia. So we find in Acts chapter 16 that calling over to go to Macedonia. By the time we get to 2 Corinthians and Paul is writing back to a church of Corinth, and he says that we find that God has bestowed upon the churches, plural, of Macedonia. It'd sort of be like us saying that the churches of Hopkins County. Macedonia was an area. It was a location of large landmass. So Paul is directed of the Lord to go there. He goes there for one purpose and one purpose only, and that's to preach. That's what a missionary does. He goes there. God gives him gives favor. Lydia gets saved. The Philippian jailer gets saved. His household gets saved. A number of people there in Philippi come to know the Lord. And later on, we have the book written to the Philippians, and that was that church. And Thessalonica, we have the book of 1 and 2 Thessalonians. Those are all churches as a result of someone getting clear direction as where to go to preach the gospel. Now, not every church is the same. Not every church has the same ability. Not every church has the same ideas as what to do. But I want us to look this morning at two churches that were in the area of Macedonia. We're going to look at Thessalonica, and we're going to look at Laodicea. And when you get to Laodicea, we find that particular church given to us in the book of Revelation chapter number 3. And we'll look in some areas there. And every church can be compared. Every church can have that comparison of they do it this way or they do it another way. Doesn't necessarily mean one's right, one's wrong. God gives us different abilities and God gives us different personalities, and the church takes on the personality of its people, and because the church is the people. And so we find when we come to 2 Corinthians 8, we're dealing with the poor churches of Macedonia. They were very poor. They did not have finances. They did not have ability. They did not have the underwriting ability to do everything that they wanted maybe to do, but they were still used of God. You see, across our area and across our country, there are churches that are very prosperous. And I'm talking about good churches. There are churches that are able to do, and they have much ability because of their membership and because of the blessing that God gives to them. And then there are churches that are just as sound doctrinally and fundamentally as maybe that larger church is, but they're not able to do everything that the other church can do, and sometimes they feel inadequate as to their ability. But I want us to look this morning at the poor churches, and we're just going to name Thessalonica. It's a very poor church. It's a church that had very limited resources. It's a church that did not have riches, but yet it was a church that God commends for what they do. And by the way, God doesn't look on success like we look on success. God doesn't look on all that we accomplish compared to something that somebody else does that's much more. God looks on ability of what we have, and God blesses us and God commends us for what we do with what He gives to us. We compare, God does not. God looks at faithfulness. God looks at overall willingness of people to serve the Lord and to be a Christian in the strictest sense of the word as far as the Word of God is concerned. But these two churches this morning, there's not only a comparison that you use them as churches, but there's a great contrast in how they saw the work of the Lord. There's a great contrast on what they did, and there's a great contrast on what the Lord tells them and how the Lord commends them. This morning, I desire that Grace Baptist Church be a Thessalonican church. Not necessarily that we be poor and we're strapped and can't do, but that we be faithful with the Lord with what He gives us, with what He bestows upon us, of whatever, materially speaking, God gives us, that we be faithful with that to preach the gospel. It's not our ability, it should not be our desire to build an empire that everybody would look at and say, wow, they're doing good. Our desire as a Christian ought to be to fulfill the commission that the Lord gives us in His Word. And that commission or that command is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, some people don't like the gospel. There's a lot of people in America that doesn't like the gospel. There's a lot of people in Hopkins County that does not like the gospel. And so, we're not talking about what people like or don't like. We're talking about being faithful to the Lord, to the command that He gives to us in His Word, that we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That is the Great Commission. And so this morning I want us to look at these two churches. One of them assailed with persecution and poverty. And one of those is known for their peace and prosperity. And then we find the end result of what God tells each one of them. Now this morning as you look in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and Paul is writing to one of those churches, he's writing and talking about the grace of God that's been bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia. Now notice verse 2, how that in a great trial of affliction and abundance of their joy and a deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us in much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of ministering to the saints. And this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. Insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Here Paul is describing the churches of Macedonia. He tells us here they were in great affliction. It tells us here that they were, even in their affliction, they had abundance of joy. You see, some people today, they feel like that joy can only come through prosperity. Well, it just matters how much money I make. It just matters how much I can get or how much I can do. That brings me joy. Well, that may bring you some happiness, but it's temporary. But the real joy that comes from the Lord comes from faithfulness to what He bestows upon us. And so they had a great trial of affliction. The Church of Thessalonica and some of those others of that region, they had a great problem with affliction. They were in an area, they were in a group, an area of places where people despised the gospel. And they were under great affliction. They were under turmoil. They were under pressure. They had the stress that comes from unbelievers and those that despise the things of the Lord. If you don't think that brings stress, if you don't think that brings problems in your life, how desperately it comes upon us sometimes when people despitefully use us. When people speak evil against us just simply because we're preaching the gospel. Just simply because we're standing on a certain principle called the Word of God. And the world has gone so far from that that we look like we're the ones that's out of step. But we're not out of step. We may be out of step with the world, but we're not out of step with the Lord. And so we find here that the Church of Thessalonica had great persecution. It had affliction that was beyond maybe compare, and it's not told us what all is taking place here, but even in the midst of that affliction and that problem and the turmoil that's around them, they had great joy. They had an inner peace. They had a joy that only comes from knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and knowing the good things that God has given to them. Even though there's struggles, even though there's problems, even though there's times that we don't know which way to turn, which way to go, I'm thankful this morning for the grace of God that gives us a joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. He gives us a peace in our heart that the world doesn't understand. He gives us a settling of our soul that we know everything's under control. We know everything is good. We know everything is well. And so these churches of Macedonia that the Lord had given Paul total direction where to go. He had stopped them from going into Asia. The Spirit had stopped them from going the other direction. Now they have a vision. Paul has a vision of a man that's in the area of Macedonia, and he's calling and says, come and help us. We call that the Macedonian call. The call to come and help us. And I believe there's a call all around this world this morning that needs the help of the gospel. They don't necessarily need to know how to plant corn, and they don't necessarily know how to build a house, even though those things are well and good in their place. But their main reason and their main call and their main need is that somebody come and tell them the gospel like they told you and I. I got saved because somebody told me the gospel. If you're here this morning and you're a believer, you got saved because somebody was a missionary to you. Because someone was faithful to the Word of God. And you may, at first, you may have not have wanted to hear it. You may have had that closed heart and closed mind to what we call the preaching of the gospel. But the Holy Spirit begins to work and begins to deal and begins to struggle your heart. And all of a sudden, you begin to listen. And you hear the wooing Spirit of God saying, you need me. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. You have a call that comes from above to those of us that are here upon this earth. And so in the midst of great trial of affliction and in the midst of of struggles, they have the abundance of joy according to verse number 2. Verse 2 also tells us that they had a deep poverty. So there wasn't just affliction from the outside in, but there was affliction from the inside in. It was affliction of not being able. It says here that they had a deep poverty. The word poverty, we hear about people that live in poverty. We hear about folks that have struggles with everything in life that has to deal with finances. They're in poverty. Well, this church of Thessalonica and some of these churches of Galatia, they had that deep poverty. They had that inability to do what they wanted to do, maybe. But yet, I refer back to their abundance of joy. They had a financial problem, but they did not have a faith problem. Some people have a faith problem and do not have a financial problem. But these folks, they had a financial problem, but their faith was real. Their faith was strong, and their ability became very abundant. So it tells us here they had abundance of joy and their deep poverty. Notice what happens in their deep poverty. It abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Now, I'm a conservative in every part about me, but I believe it was one portion of us that needs to be very liberal, and that's our giving of ourselves and our time, our effort, our things unto the Lord. And so these folks, the Bible says here they were in poverty, but that poverty abounded to riches because of their liberality, because of their desire to give and their desire to help in the ministry. And so we find here that Paul's describing these churches of Galatia. He's describing these churches that he was very instrumental in starting and preaching the gospel and people coming together. Can you imagine there in Philippi, that jailer and his family, Lydia, and they begin to talk about it, and all of a sudden there's more people coming. And before you realize it, there's a church established in the little city called Philippi. And we have a book in our Bible where Paul writes back to that church. We call it Philippians. And so we find that the gospel is a very effective tool that the Lord has given to us that we can establish some things for the Lord. So there's some good things, and there's some things here that this church of churches of Galatia had. They had persecution under great affliction. They had poverty, which abounded, as the scripture says here, they had deep poverty. They had good things, though. They had an abundance of joy. And then God gave them riches because of their liberality. Now, that's a pretty good description of some of the churches of Galatia. It tells us here what they have. Now I want us to contrast another church that's in the area of Macedonia. And it's the church of Laodicea. Now we have a book to the Philippian people. We have a book in our Bible to the Corinthian people. We have a book in our Bible to the Thessalonican people. We don't have a book to the Laodicean people. Not a whole lot said about them, but what is said is not anything good. But yet they're in the same area. They're classified, and I know this is hard sometimes for us to understand and to swallow, but they are classified as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are classified as a church that belongs to the Lord. But they had a problem. There's a lot of churches this morning, I believe, that are churches of the Lord, but they have a problem. And the Lord directs the Apostle John as he writes the book of the Revelation. He gives him direction as to write to seven churches. Seven churches in the book of Revelation are mentioned. They're all existing, I believe, at the same time because a letter is written to them from the Holy Spirit through John. And there's a message to each one of them. In chapter 2, we have the church of Ephesus. By the way, we have a book written to where? Have the book of Ephesians written to this church. You have the church of Smyrna. You have the church of Pergamos. Have the church of Thyatira. You have the church of Sardis. You have the church of Philadelphia. And then you have the church of Laodicea. Every one of these churches were vibrant churches. Every one of them was active. Every one of them was busy in the things of the Lord as far as they were concerned. But when you come to this seventh church, Laodicea, it's not like Thessalonica. It's not like some of the other churches in Macedonia. There's a great contrast. When you compare the two, you'll find there's no comparisons at all. There's only contrast, differences. Where the churches of Galatia that we mentioned were in great affliction, we find in Revelation chapter number 3 and verse number 14 says, to the angel of the church of Laodiceans write. So here's the message that is given. These things saith the Amen and the faithful true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. We know that is from the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one wording this message. He tells them in verse 15, I know thy works. Now it says, thou art neither hot, or neither cold nor hot. And then he goes on and said, I wish you was one or the other. He tells them there that they're neither cold nor hot. Verse 16 says, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. That's a total contrast to the other churches of Galatia. Remember, they were in deep poverty. And here's this church. It's rich. It doesn't struggle to pay their bills. It doesn't struggle to take care of the ministries that they have. It doesn't struggle to do any of the things they want to do. They are rich and increased with goods, and they don't need anybody's help. Somebody said, "Boy, that sounds pretty good." Now, the end result of it is not real good. As we look at these two churches, and we come to the conclusion here of these churches, I believe we would find I'd rather be Thessalonica. I'd rather be the poor churches of Galatia, because they had something that Laodicea did not have. He tells them here that they're neither hot nor cold. That means they were just going along their way. They're lukewarm. Have you ever taken a drink of lukewarm water? Terrible, I think. Have you ever taken a drink of milk and it's neither hot nor cold? It's not good. Now, I will not put ice in my milk. That's just something, but I want it cold, almost to the point of freezing. I want cold milk. I don't want lukewarm milk. And the Lord says here, this church is like that water or that milk or that substance that we are going to drink, and it needs to be hot or it needs to be cold. Now, I've not drank coffee my whole life. I've just drank that in the last 3 years, I guess. But I sure don't want any cold coffee. Now, I know some of you put ice in it and some of you drink iced coffee and frozen coffee. That's well and good if you want to do that. I want hot coffee. I remember my mom, I don't know how she did it, but she would have the water boiling. She would use some of that instant stuff. And she would have the water boiling, and she'd mix up that coffee, and she'd drink it right then. I said, "Mom, how in the world do you do that?" She says, "Well, I like it hot." I said, "That's obvious." And she'd go to a restaurant, and that coffee wasn't hot. She'd send it back. She said, "I want it hot." And they said, "Well, we can put it on the stove and boil it." She said, "That's what I want you to do." So she liked hot coffee. I would like lukewarm. I like hot coffee. I don't want cold. And we all have those preferences. Well, you know what the Lord prefers you and I to be this morning? He prefers us to be hot or cold. He prefers us to be on it or off of it. Not in the middle of the road. Not on the straddle of the fence. Not on the way we can fall either way, just ever how the wind blows. We are what we are. We should stand for what we are. I have no problem standing where I stand up on the Scriptures and the Word of God. That's where we are. And so the churches of Galatia, those that were poor, they had affliction. They had deep poverty. But they had riches because of their liberality. Because they were willing to give out of their poverty. Well, that's what missions is all about. It's not giving out of what we have. It's giving out of maybe what we don't have. And so those churches are given pretty good comments and pretty good record from the Lord. But Laodicea, I don't find anything good said here about it. It tells us here that he says, "Because you're lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich, increased with goods, and I have need of nothing." I don't need anything. I don't need your help. I don't need His help. And some of them get to the point, they don't even need God's help. And the Lord looks at them and say, "I've got a different opinion of you. I've got a different conclusion of things than you have." And the Lord gives it to us here. In verse number 18, He says, "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich." Oh, I thought they were rich. Increased with goods. The Lord says, what you need to be rich is you need me. You don't need dollars. You don't need gold. You don't need silver. You don't need finances. God says, you just need me. So that you can be rich. The Lord doesn't say here He increases them out of their poverty. He says that they are in poverty and they need Him in order to be rich. Now, this is a church of Macedonia also. Different place, different city, different area. But they find that they were not liberal in anything. They didn't have a servant's heart. He says in verse number 3 of there in Corinthians where we read, he says, "For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves." They were willing beyond to do more than they ever thought they possibly could do. But Laodicea, they were rich, had need of nothing. And knowest, the Lord says, you don't even realize that you're wretched, you're miserable, you're poor, you're blind, and you're naked. God's conclusion is different than their conclusion. God's last words on that church is far different than their last words on them. We've got it all made. We can take care of it. We can handle it. And so, Thessalonica had a servant's heart, willing to give of themselves, first of all, where Laodicea said, I'm increased with goods. I don't need it. I don't need anything. When it comes to missions this morning, and we'll be dealing with this, different missionaries throughout this month, it's not what we think we can do. And I know you've heard this year after year. It's what God asks us to do. As the Lord gave Paul instruction to go to Macedonia, because in a vision he sees a man saying, come and help us. And Luke says, we endeavored immediately to go because we knew that the Lord had called us. I believe a missionary has to have a call just like anybody else, not just to preach the gospel, but I believe he has to have a call to go where he's going. If he doesn't have a call, if it's just out of convenience, that convenience will run out and they'll come home. I've seen for years and years missionaries that would go and really their call was not real definite. Well, there's a need there. Well, there's a need everywhere. Put your finger on a map out there and you can go there if it's just because of a need. Do you not think Asia had a need when the Spirit of God says, no, don't go to Asia? Sure, they had a need. Those other two places that are mentioned in the next verse, there was a need there, and the Holy Spirit forbid them to go. There was a need, but God said, not for you. And I try to, when I talk to missionaries, I want to nail down their call to that area, to where they say they're going. If it's just because, well, there's so much needs there, there's so many things, and I just feel like I can be used. God can use us anywhere, but God calls us to a mission field. Now, I didn't think I'd be preaching this morning, but if there's not a call, then there's not a conclusion. If there's not a call in that person's life or that family's life, they will not conclude the ministry where they think they need to be, because the need will be great somewhere else. Somewhere else. Somewhere else. And they pack up and they go somewhere else. But if you get a call, the only need you're interested in is where God's called you, where God has placed you. So as we come to the conclusion of the message, they gave in Thessalonica and those poor churches of Galatia, the reason they could have joy, the reason they could have abundance, even out of their deep poverty, is because in verse number 5 it says, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. And then Paul says, and to us. You see, Paul was collecting for the saints. And these poor churches of Galatia that had nothing, they gave more than the rich churches like Laodicea. You know who does, I'm going to say, and I have no statistics, I probably could find it, but you know who does most of the mission work around this world this morning? Oh, it's the churches of 20,000. No, because they take care of their own. They build their fine homes. They build their empire. They fly their jets. They have all and need nothing. But you know who does the majority of mission work and these flags represent is churches of 100, 150, and less. Because they're willing. Out of the abundance of their heart to give. They're willing not necessarily to look at their checkbook, but they check their heart. And if God tells you to do a certain thing, you know what? God will supply that. Well, I don't know how in the world I can do that. Oh, but God does. You see, He's in control. If we're increased with goods and we don't need anything, I can write a $1,000 check, won't bother me any. Well, that might help the missionary, but it's not going to help you a whole lot if it's not out of the abundance of your heart. Laodicea had a problem. And the Lord tells him here, He said, I counsel thee. He says, you think you're rich, He said, but you're poor. You think you're great, but you're miserable. He says, you think you've got fine clothes, He said, but you're naked. He says, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness does not appear. And anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. The Lord said to Laodicea, you need to see the world. You don't need to see, church, what you have. You don't need to see what thousands, you know, there's churches in communities that have thousands, hundreds of thousands, some millions of dollars. And they're just saving it for a rainy day. While the world dies without Jesus Christ. And we give out of the poverty of our souls so they might hear. The heartbeat of the local church has always been, always will be, going into all the world and preaching the gospel. Amen. That's the heartbeat of the house of God. Out of the liberality of their poverty, God gave them joy. God gave them abundance. They did things that Laodicea wished they could do. They heard words of commendation, and Laodicea heard words of recommendation. This is what you need to do. So this morning, as we start this month off as missions, I got two more pages. I didn't get off the first page. May finish it up tonight. But as we start this month off of focusing, emphasizing the world, may God help us to be willing to say, first of all, I give myself. Secondly, I'll give what God tells me to give. We call it faith promise. You've heard that for, I've been here 38 years, 39 years. Yeah, I know you've heard it that many years. Heard it longer than that. We've heard it over and over and over again, but we need to be reminded again and again that the Lord might give us affliction. He might give us poverty, but oh, the abundance of the joy that comes from serving God. He may give us deep poverty, but oh my goodness, how to enjoy the riches of the liberality that God gives. May the Lord help us to look on the fields. Laodicea, you need eye salve. You need doctoring your eyes so you can see. May God help us to see the world that needs Jesus Christ. Let's stand together this morning.